I love you so much, and I want to thank you for all the kind words that just continue to pour in, and the prayers, and just the encouragement. I do want the opportunity. Many of you know my testimony. Some of you don't, but many of you do, and you've heard me testify of the fact that when I was a child, I was abused, I was victimized, which I don't even want to give any honor. I'm healed. I'm healed from all that. But I did want to clarify that it was not my biological father who was the victimizer. And as in the passing of my dad, I wanted to make sure that that was clear to the body. My dad was a good and kind man, and he's greatly missed, though I do know without a shadow of a doubt that he is walking with Jesus right now, and he got his leg back, and he got his sight back, and it's all good. It's hard on this side, but I'll see him again, and he knows it, and I know it, so we get through it. I also want to take this opportunity to mention the Valentine family and the extended family of the Valentines. Another loss, another great loss yesterday, correct? It was yesterday. And so we want to continue to keep the Valentine family, the Garcia family, just the extended family, just continue to uphold them in prayer as they walk through this time, trusting the Holy Spirit. And ask where you can be an encouragement. Maybe reach out online on Facebook, give an encouraging scripture. Maybe bring a card to church, to bless them. And we'll look for the opportunity to mourn with them. Amen, church. Prayers for the Valentine family. Amen. Well, there's been some things that have been thrown out here in worship. There's some words that have been gripping my spirit. And before I start on my notes or even on my message, I want to address a couple of things. We're in a time right now where we're being presented with a couple of different opportunities, and the opportunities are spiritual. Okay, over here, despair is, kind of try to get us in its grip, and over here, anticipation and expectation for the goodness of God to be seen. Experienced, realized, and demonstrated, right? So you and I have a choice. We stand in this pivotal place, and we're constantly being asked or invited by either one of these spiritual forces to align ourselves with them, to make a contract with them. And so I just want to call despair out right now. So for the hearts that are in this place this morning that have partnered with despair, I just break the power of that despair over your hearts and lives right now in Jesus' name, because we have a hope, and his name is Jesus. And as we sang about, he has not failed us yet. He has not failed us yet. Even in our loss, even in our disappointment, he's still God. He's on the throne. He has not been dethroned, and we need to be reminded of our position. And that's to make sure that we are aligning ourselves with anticipation and expectation and not giving in to the desperation and the despair that the enemy is trying to sow right now. Amen? And there's a scripture that I want to read that goes along with that. Actually, it's over here. So it just came to my spirit first service as we were worshiping. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, how many of you know we need wisdom right now? We need strategy. We need strategy. We need spiritual strategy. Scripture says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, right? In full expectancy, in full anticipation. That's what faith is. In full certainty. Let him ask in faith without doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from God. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Now is not the time, church, to be double-minded. Now is not the time to be swayed by social media or anything else that's going on out there. We need to remain anchored in the one who is true and faithful. Amen? Amen. Last time I checked, he was still God. Amen. So let's just hold on to that. Amen? So I know that it was probably announced a little bit different online or when they were when our marketing was putting out the sermon for this weekend, but I want to entitle this wake up call, because I believe we're at a tipping point in the church where God is requiring authenticity of his followers, that he's not going to have any more of the lack of authenticity, the lack of genuine wholehearted following. Because we're at a time where the church is to be demonstrating the glory and the power of God in a world that is full of question right now, full of question, full of fear. We were and have been, and we always will be, God's plan to touch the world that is in despair. That's who you are, and that's who I am. And I love to, this morning we talked about the anointing, right? Because the anointing in our lives is what makes it possible to do the things that otherwise, without it, would not be possible. So you and I, we've been anointed. We've been anointed by a holy God who has enabled us. I believe that right now is the time more than ever. We are, and I said it first service, it's funny because I talked to a couple other prophetic people that I'm in relationship with, and we're all feeling the same thing. We are at a Red Sea opportunity. We are standing at the brink of the Red Sea, and we shouldn't be scratching our heads at this point. There's enough experience, there's enough testimony, there's enough history behind us that reveals who God is in those moments. So we're standing at the edge, like the Israelites were at the Red Sea, looking at impossibility, but knowing that our God is bigger than any impossibility that is before us. He's bigger than any mountain. Amen? Before I go any further, I don't want to forget. Who's leaving? You're going to Texas. Could you stand? Manny and Stephanie, please stand. Just stand right where you're at. I want everybody to extend their hands. They've been with us for years. They've been faithful in ministry here. We love them. God is opening a door of opportunity for Manny for employment in Texas. Too good to pass up. So we know that God's got something in store for you. So I just prophesy hope and fulfillment over you. And in Jesus' name, we thank you, God, for what you're doing with this family. We thank you, my God, for opening doors that no man can shut and shutting doors that no man can open. We thank you for the anointing that they've carried in this church and believe that they will carry our DNA and your DNA to wherever it is that they're going. I pray that you help them find a church where they can be active and committed, my God, and that they would always be reminded of your great love and ours as well. Bless them as they go in Jesus' name. Amen. This is our last Sunday with us. Amen. So in my notes today, what I want to talk about is the need for faithfulness and perseverance right now. And I want to say this to you: with great spiritual privilege comes great spiritual responsibility. Amen. So with great spiritual privilege, God is requiring that you and I, as sons and daughters, as believers, as followers of Christ, become responsible in the areas that we've been lacking, right? So God never promised us that we would be without challenge, without difficulty. God never promised us that we wouldn't get, a sucker punch here and there. He never promised us that wouldn't happen. What he did promise us, that whenever the challenges came, when the difficulties, when the impossibilities seemed so very real ahead of us, he promised that he would be with us. He would be with us as we walk through the difficult times. We don't have to walk through alone. And Timothy was a disciple of Paul. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, we have a beautiful discourse. And I'm going to challenge you, church. The time for coming to church on Sunday and letting that be your time with God for the week is gone. It's over. We've got to grow up. We got to get a little bit bigger than that. Okay, we got to put our big girl and big boy pants on. And so I'm going to suggest that maybe today you screenshot every one of the slides that go up. And when you go home this evening, maybe sit down with your family and have a devotional. Crack open the Bible and talk about the things that we're talking about. Maybe even identify some areas where you're lacking with each other. Be vulnerable with one another. Pray for one another. Amen. Because coming to church on Sunday and expecting somebody else to feed you, we're big enough, we need to feed ourselves as well. Okay. Amen. Amen. All right. So where is it that the hearts of men are failing? Can't you see it all around you? Just the despair and the questions and the fear that continue in his purpose in this portion of scripture. And he admonishes Timothy. And an admonition is good now and then. So I'm here to admonish you this morning. There are things about who we are that we need to reexamine. Okay? There are things about what the Word of God says about who we are that we need to re-examine so that if we're failing in some areas, we can tighten up the belt a little bit, right? We can pull up the boots a little bit. Okay, so, and this applies to all of us. So remember that Paul was an experienced veteran, right? Lots of veterans in the house this morning. Lots of veterans. Lots of us that have been serving the Lord for quite some time. Some of us are more new, but that's okay. What Paul was imparting to Timothy is what I believe God wants to impart to your hearts, my heart, as a daughter today, your heart as a son or a daughter today. And I want to say this to you. We need to recognize when we're reading God's word or when we are in a service or when we're hearing a message, you know, a podcast, whatever it might be, we need to recognize when Holy Spirit is attempting to impart something. There are portions of Scripture where there's impartation available. I mean, all of Scripture we can be imparted to, but there are specific portions of Scripture where an impartation can happen, an understanding, a deepening of understanding can happen. And I believe that's what Paul was trying to do for Timothy, who was struggling. He was tired. He was weary. He was questioning his call. And so Paul addresses him in a few areas, but in 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm going to read a few scriptures, and then we're going to talk about seven word pictures that Paul used when he was reminding Timothy, don't forget who you are. Don't forget who you are. Let me remind you. Let me define for you what you are or who you are. And so faithfulness and perseverance were being required. And I can't overstate that today. Right now, we have to be faithful followers, not a bunch of wimps that are getting moved and spun out on everything that we hear or look. We have to be anchored on the one truth that we're sure of. Amen. So we know that perseverance produces character. And this is what I walked over and talked to Pastor Henry as worship was starting. And I just really feel like the lack of genuineness in the body of Christ is a stench to the nostrils of God right now. And I have to examine myself, okay, first. I have to examine. I'm not sitting up here pointing fingers. I'm asking the Lord right now. And what I'm hearing from the Lord personally for me is you need to know when to pivot, okay? You need to recognize when I'm giving you the opportunity to pivot. You need to be certain about what I've said in my word and not get rocked or pulled off the truth in any shape or form. And you need to have character. Amen? So we know that perseverance produces character. You know, in my notes, actually later on, I say that perseverance, actually the willingness to endure actually pleases the Father's heart. You know, we always talk about, you know, faith. Well, that's what endurance is. That's what perseverance is faith to hold on in the midst of difficulty. And I believe that the Father's heart is so blessed when you and I, faced with challenges, choose to say, oh, heck no. I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. I'm going to believe that he is all-powerful and that any inferior lowercase g gods out there they're going to have their day of reckoning. Amen? Amen. So Paul is admonishing Timothy with these seven word pictures, and that's what we're going to look at today. So I'm hoping that you're going to screenshot or take your notes. And the first one is found, I'm going to read the first seven verses and I'm going to stop there because some of the other ones are, but I love this. And so even as I'm reading, I pray that you pull down on an impartation. It says, you therefore, my son, Paul speaking to Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses. Commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake in the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, Jesus, I pray that you impart truth to the core of the hearts of your sons and daughters today, and that we would be honest and open with you, Holy Spirit, so that you can do the work that is necessary so that we can stand and not be moved. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. So the number one word picture that Paul uses as he's encouraging or admonishing Timothy to basically rise up, get up, wise up, muscle up, whatever you want to call it. He's telling Timothy, this is not the time to fail. This is the time to show who you are. And I believe that's what God is saying to the church this morning. So the first picture he uses is in the very first verse. He refers to Timothy as a son. And you and I are sons of daughters, and we can't forget that. We're sons and daughters of a good father, a good father. We're heirs to the promises that are found in his word. And regardless of the lack of the fulfilling of promises in your life, you have to stay in that place of expectancy as a son or as a daughter. And the word of God says in John 1:12 that every true believer is a son. To all who have received him, he gave the right to become a child of God. Are you a child of God today? If you're not, you'll have an opportunity at the end of the service. I'm going to have Pastor Ryan come up and stand right over here. And without a doubt and without hesitation, I believe some of you that are here this morning that don't know Jesus, you're going to get an opportunity to meet my best friend who just happens to be the creator of the universe, the universes, and he wants to be your best friend too. So if you're here this morning, don't leave without being introduced to him. Amen. Sons and daughters, that's who we are. And as sons and daughters, we need to grow up physically. Isn't that what we expect when we're raising our children? We watch them. You know, I've been seeing Moxie lately. Moxie's just like, every time I turn around, she's gaining an inch or two. I'm like, wait a minute. Somebody put a brick on her head. She can't grow anymore. We need to grow up physically. We need to grow up emotionally. Pray of God because you refuse to let go of the junk. God is big enough to heal you from whatever you have been through. And I'm not making light of anyone's situation this morning. I'm just saying it's time that we allow God to be all God, right? I mean, we've grown up spiritually, though there's many of us in the church that are 20, 25 years old, but we're about this tall. We're dwarfed because we feel like we have a right to hold on to our injustice or our pain. And you know what? I'm not making light of any of your pain or any of your difficulties, but I love what our pastor has said since the very beginning. You have a right to hurt, but more than that, you have a right to be healed. And maybe you're not fulfilling your purpose. Maybe you're not experiencing the power of God the way that you have hoped to because you've refused to heal. You've refused to allow him to walk you through some emotional healing. Also, we need to grow up socially. Hello, social media. We need to grow up. We need to grow up socially. We need to be an encouragement because that's what God has called us to be. We need to be careful not to get caught up in all the garbage, right? That's part of growing up socially. But most importantly, we need to grow up spiritually. I really feel, as I said to Pastor Henry this morning, the lack of authenticity is going to be shaken off the church. So for those of us that are just half-stepping it, I'm warning you right now, get it right because there's a shaking. And God is tired of, he's tired of the lack of authenticity and genuineness in the church and the followers and his sons and daughters. And it's become a distraction. It's become a distraction. And it's time for no distractions. So I'm just saying now's the time. Get it right. Get it right. Or that shaking is going to be difficult to survive. Amen. 2 Peter 3:18 says this, but you, friends, are well warned. Be on guard lest you lose your footing and get swept off your feet by these lawless and loose-talking teachers. Grow in grace. Still trying to perform for the love of God. It doesn't work that way. Disciplines happen after grace is applied. Grace is the power that we need in our lives in order to grow up. Okay, so if you haven't had an encounter with grace, you need one. You need one. It says, grow in the grace and the understanding of our Master and Savior, Jesus Christ. That word understanding in the root is gnosis. It's gnosis. And it means a demonstration due to application. I'm going to say that again. Demonstration due to application by direct relationship. I can't grow your relationship with God. Pastor Henry can't grow your relationship with God. Pastor Henry's responsible to grow his relationship with God. I had this conversation with a few leaders last week. What are we doing? Are we so busy teaching people that we're not taking responsibility for our own growth. I said to this small circle of mine, are we growing? Are we growing as leaders? Are we surrendering things as leaders? Are we surrendering the hurts of last year as leaders? Or are we allowing that, are we dragging that into the new year? We are required to grow as leaders. And we can't expect growth in the body if we as leaders aren't intentional about our growth. Spiritual growth is not automatic. It is intentional. It is intentional. What does that look like? It looks like you picking up the Word of God in the morning. Setting your alarm clock early enough to get up and spend 15 minutes in the Word. Maybe 5-10 minutes in prayer on your own without being led. Spiritual maturity doesn't look like you come on Sunday morning, you hear a message, and then you shut your Bible and it collects dust for the week, and then you bring it back with you if you remember, if you happen to remember to bring it with you to church. That's not spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity is praying. It's gained by praying. It's gained by practicing His presence. It's gained by rehearsing His word, memorizing His scriptures so that they can become a part of who we are. Amen? And I feel like so many of us in the church have gotten away from that. Personal responsibility. Spiritual growth does not happen automatically. It's intentional. And God is requiring us to be intentional in this hour. Just a little bit, but I refuse those glasses. So I have to print it nice and big. Number two, found in verses 3 and 4. Who are we? We're soldiers. Paul was reminding Timothy, you're a soldier. You're not a victim, right? You're a soldier. Soldiers are to be steadfast and disciplined. Amen. You don't run to the front line. Some of our war veterans know. You don't run to the front line and let fear overtake you. You have to engage the battle that's in front of you. That's the only option, is to engage. We need to be steadfast. We need to be disciplined. Paul, he experienced some hardships. I'm going to encourage you, go home and look up this scripture yourself, 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 28. You can see what Paul endured. And then maybe, set it alongside some of the things that you've endured and get a good perspective. I don't know how many of you have been beaten for the sake of Christ or shipwrecked or stoned or imprisoned, but Paul endured it all. And in all of it, he remained certain. He remained convinced. He continued to anticipate the move of God. Amen? And as I said earlier, sometimes it's in the enduring that we actually gain the attention of the heart of the Father. Amen? Number three, the third thing that Paul used while admonishing his son Timothy is that we're to be like athletes, and that's found in verse 5. And it says specifically that we're to strive according to the rules of the game. Right? We don't get to make up the rules. We don't get to change the rules. This is our rule book. Regardless of what's going on in our lives, what's going on in our families, what the liberal left is telling us, this is our rule book. I said it earlier, a football player doesn't train to be a skier. That would be foolish. There's specific muscles. We have to train according to the rules. And I'm going to lay this out like I did first service. I'm going to let it prophetically just rest upon this house. I put this in quotes on purpose. But we know that many Olympians that have gone behind us, many Olympians we've seen many times, they've been stripped of their glory because they didn't play by the rules. What's happening in the church? Are we being stripped of our glory because we're trying to bend the rules? We're trying to bend the rules just a little bit because we have a family member that the rules don't fit for, right? Yep, it's awful quiet in here. The Word of God tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance. the race that is set before us. Now's not the time to lay back. Now's not the time to sit back and say, oh, I'm going to let somebody else do this. Oh, I can't pray. I don't know how to pray. Well, you better learn how to pray, because prayer is a lifeline. Okay? Prayer is a lifeline. If all you do is run to everybody else to pray for you, you're in trouble. You need to learn what it means to get alone with God, get away with God, and have a conversation with God, because he longs to speak to you about your purpose, about your lack, so that he can fill that lack with his abundance, right? He's a good God, and he's waiting. I picture him sometimes. You know, I'll be busy doing my thing, and I can like see him sitting on my couch with his arms crossed. Like, you know, Carrie, are you done yet? I'm kind of hanging out here waiting for you to spend some time with me. You know, all those, it's his hunger. It's his hunger. Having time with you is his delight. And some of you have never experienced that for yourselves. And it's really as easy as turning the television off, finding a quiet place, and refusing to let your mind drift. Bring that mind back. Bring that mind back on him. Put a couple scriptures in front of you and read, and then just be quiet and listen. Because he does speak, amen? This next one is one of my favorites. We are farmers, right? Verse 6 says, we are farmers. We will be the first to partake of our planting, of our sowing. You know, a farmer plants a seed with absolute faith that that seed is going to produce a harvest. If the farmer wasn't convinced that he would produce a harvest, he wouldn't bust up his knuckles in the process, right? He wouldn't toil. He wouldn't go back out day after day pulling out the weeds and making sure that everything is watered properly. He wouldn't, you know, put the nutrients in the ground. He wouldn't waste his time if he wasn't fully convinced that something was going to be produced from the seed that he was planted. Some of you are waiting for your seeds to produce a harvest. And the word of God says, let us not grow weary in doing good, because in due season we will reap if we do not give up. We have to be like the farmer. We have to plant that seed, and no matter what it looks like, even if we get a couple of bad crops, we need to continue to plant, because we have to believe that he will bring a good harvest. Number 5 is workmen. Workmen. It's found in verse 15. And I just want to say that this is the time, church, as workmen of God, that we need to sharpen our skills. We need to check out what's in our tool belt, right? We need to make sure that we're not trying to perform a skill with the wrong tool. So many of us are trying to pick up the tools of other people because we like what we see and we want to do that. And God is saying, you know what, that's not your tool. You're not effective with that tool. We need to be aware of the tools that are in our belt. I said at first service, my husband's a body man. He's an auto body tech. He's been doing it since he was 15 years old. But if you handed him a plumber's tool belt and said, go fix that car, what he would produce is something less effective than if he was working with his own tools. As a matter of fact, I'd venture to say that car could not be fixed. It could not be restored. And some of us are trying to restore things with other people's tools. You need to know what your tools are. Every master craftsman has the proper tools and skills to effectively accomplish his or her job. The mature who have been careless with their tools are being called to wake up and rise up, to sharpen and polish the tools that belong to you. To the mature, I'm speaking to you this morning. Just as Paul spoke to Timothy, pick up the tools that you dropped along the way. Clean them up. Sharpen them where needed. Drop the ones in your belt that aren't yours, that you're not supposed to be using, that are weighing you down. Quit trying to be someone else. God created you to be you, to be effective as you. To skillfully and masterfully use the tools that he has given you. We have to hold on. We have to rise up. James 1:4 says this, let perseverance finish its work so that you may become mature and complete. We're not going to become mature and complete if we're busy trying to work out of somebody else's tool belt. Be who you are. Be the best version of you. And you will change the world. I mean, that's the truth. That's God's plan. It's as simple as that. He created you. He breathed life into you. He released the giftings in your life, the tools that you're effective with, so that you would change the world. But we are vessels. We are vessels. What kind of a vessel are you? The Bible says, there's scriptures that say, you know, some are made of silver, some are made of gold, some are made of straw, some are made of wood. But the Bible says they're all effective. They're all effective. So if you're a pitcher, don't try to be a platter. Okay? If you're, you know, if you're a platter, don't try to be a cup. Amen. Be the vessel that you were created to be, and make sure that you are clean and available. That's where that scripture came in earlier. You know, beware of that sin that so easily entangles us. That sin might be your behavior. That sin might be your attitude. You know, some of us have attitude, and we've had attitude our whole life. And we blame it on this or we blame it on that. And God says, either I'm bigger than that or not. You need an attitude adjustment. You need an attitude adjustment. I'm not going to have that anymore. I'm tired of that, being in the mix. You're too old for that. So that sin that so easily besets us, it could be a behavior, it could be an attitude, and it could be relationships that we have in our lives that do not produce anything godly, noble, rich, wealthy, anything that, there's a time when we have to shake the dust off. And I feel like there's some people in here that you have people surrounding you in your life. They're in your inner circle, and they should be in your outer court. Okay? Shouldn't be in the inner circle because they're affecting your effectiveness, right? Or poisoning your effectiveness, diluting your effectiveness, okay? So we need to remember that regardless of what kind of vessel we are, we're to be useful for the purpose we were designed. Anyone who purchases a vessel wants it to be worth the price that they paid for it. Can you just think about that for a moment? And you're like, well, I could never be, you know, worth the price that Jesus paid for me. Okay, can we get out of the false humility for just a minute? He gave you worth. So you do have worth, right? You do have worth. And you need to offer your worth back to him. You need to offer your purpose back to him. And you need to clean up that mess. I've said this before when I teach on health, which I'm not teaching on today, so don't get scared. But I've said this before. If Brittany comes over, I don't really worry about cleaning up the house too much. Or Courtney. You know, I don't worry about it too much. But if I'm going to have a guest come over, and I'm going to host a guest, it's one thing if you're family. It's another thing if there's a guest, right? And if a guest is coming over, then I'm going to clean the house. You know, I'm going to put together some nice hors d'oeuvres. I'm going to make sure that things are comfortable, that the heat is at the, you know, heat or the cool is at the right. I'm going to make it a place, an inviting place. And we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And some of us just need to clean up our messes so that he can fill us. You know, he's crammed into the back room for some of us, right? He's not in the living room. He's not kicking back in that easy chair in the living room of this vessel. Some of us have him shut in the closet with the rest of the junk. He wants to fill us up. He wants to fill this vessel. So sometimes we need to get rid of some of the stuff that's in the way. Amen. And the last thing that Paul speaks to Timothy about is the fact that we are servants. Timothy was tired. He was questioning whether or not he wanted to serve anymore. And I know that there are some in this house that are there. But we don't get to be there because we are servants. We're servants. Let me give you a definition of servant. One that serves others, a devoted and helpful follower of another. And I love in this portion of scripture, This is an admonition, right? We're imparting some truth today in verse 24. And it says, and a servant of the Lord, remember this is Paul teaching Timothy, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. How many of us are getting caught up in quarreling right now? Yeah, this scripture really spoke to me. We can't win that way. We can't win a commitment, a surrender. We can't cause a heart to surrender by quarreling with them, by trying to prove our will, our right, our point. When someone is in error, we are to love them and build relationships so that we can actually speak truth into their life in love, not for our sake, but for his sake. For his sake. And that's what this scripture here is talking about. So the challenges of 2020 and even to date, I feel are becoming an excuse. I feel that they're becoming an excuse for many of us to get comfortable. And now is not the time to get comfortable. Now is the time to serve. Some of us, because some of the ministries have been shut down, we're like, ooh, this is cool. I don't have to serve. There's no effort. There's still areas that you can serve right now. And right now is the time to serve. We need help in the sound booth. We need help in media. We need help on the cameras. We need help with our ushers. We need help cleaning up the church on a regular basis. We need help with our media. We can just go on and on, but so many are like, oh, well, our ministry isn't happening right now, so I'm just going to take a break. Now is not the time for a break. Now is the time for the servants of God to rise up and reveal that we're going to serve one another. We're going to serve our leaders. We're going to serve our senior leader. Service should define who we are. Is Pastor Mona in the house this morning? We are right now. Last year, Pastor Anna and I had the honor of releasing a truth out of kind of a Hebrew understanding of what 2020 was to unfold. And some of us are still holding on to that. And so I'm going to let Pastor Mona share something that she shared that I think is really powerful.
Okay. So I just want to thank you guys, first of all. This is amazing. And I just want to thank Pastor Carrie. It's just an honor always to come up and just to share, you know, the word of God, and most of all, to just really take hold of the words that are spoken over us. We can't forget what was spoken over us, whether it was a month ago, a year ago, 5 years ago. We have to hang on to the word, because these are the words that are given to our prophets. You know, they speak the truth, and just like Pastor Kerry said, they're impartations over us, and we are to receive it, to study it, to meditate on it. And I've hung on to the word, and even Pastor Anna, I don't know if she's here, but she opened with this, I believe it was December 29, 2019. And I love the word, and I just it still resonates with me. So I'm just going to read my quick notes here, if I may. So we were entering into a decade of pay, 5780, and that was to speak our voice. And the word was P-E-H, and that was to fill. It is in the mouth. It is the mouth and the symbol with power and might, and it gets even better. 20 is the number of redemption, and when we've been in a season of tarrying, and we have the symbol of Bet, B-E-T, and it's the tabernacle or presence of the Lord, and I thought that was just amazing. Yes, we all need to get into the presence of the Lord daily, daily, not just on Sunday we're in worship or at the end when we go to pray at the altar. We need to be in his tabernacle daily. And it was just so amazing that, as she continues to speak, I was driving home from work that evening, a couple days after, and the clouds were just forming, just something so amazing. Oh, God, you are really speaking. If we open our eyes to what's out there, we need to see in the spirit what God is trying to say to us. And I was like so amazed. So I went back and I listened to the sermon and I took down even more notes. And it says that God is calling us back into the presence of the Lord, where he speaks to our spirit and releases a boldness and a freshness that we haven't experienced in years. He will fill our mouth with power and might, and the favor of God will be released. How amazing is that? And 2020, coming into it, we thought, great, we're going to see vision and all these other things that were being spoken. But it's been an extremely, extremely unexpected year for all of us. We never knew that this was going to happen. How would we ever know? It's just, it's unbelievable that these things would happen. So I'm just holding on to that word. And I also want to go over 2 Chronicles 7:14. And it said, if my people who are called by my name would turn from their wicked ways, that's us right now. That's what we need to do. We need to be in his word daily. Turn from our sins, as Pastor Carrie was saying. We need to turn from the things that we're doing where we're so laxed and just, you know, being lazy. I'm just going to say it, just being lazy. We need to get into the word of God and listen to what he's saying. Discern the things that are being spoken out there. Is that true, God? No, if it doesn't speak to your spirit, no, you let it go. Focus on the word of God. He's going to fulfill his promises, because his word is true. It does not return void. And I also speak that over myself, because I won't say something to someone that I won't receive for myself. You know, so we have to speak in boldness and in truth and go to the word of God, you know, to is it real, God? Is that what's going on? And hold on to his promises. He's going to do a great and mighty thing, and he's going to fulfill everything he has spoken over you. It's not over, guys. We win. We keep moving forward, because that's his promise.
Thank you. Amen. And the Lord took me back to that. I love looking at symbols in the Hebrew, in their alphabet and in their numerical things. And one of the things that he's speaking, it's still the same symbol this year. However, 2021 is exactly what Mona just said, Pastor Mona just said, is that if we will allow... In the presence of God, if we will go inside the presence of God, he will speak things that actually become a part of who we are and enable us and embolden us to speak like we've never spoken before. And so the word fulfillment comes out of 2021. And completeness and fulfillment, or fulfillment, and that was one of the words that the Lord spoke to my spirit as well, is I will fulfill my promises this year. This year. Amen. Why don't we all stand to our feet this morning? I want to prophesy over you, and then I'd like to spend just a few minutes in prayer. I feel like we're just at this place where there's, as I opened up with today, with spiritual blessing or with spiritual privilege comes spiritual responsibility. Right? There's some responsibility that we have to take, and this is what the Lord spoke to me. So I'm just going to ask, if you're willing and you want an impartation, go ahead and just lift your hands to the Lord. You don't have to, but if you want, just put them palms up, saying, I'll take this. Because this is what the Lord spoke to my spirit this morning. He said this. He said, fervency, not complacency, fervency will result in power. Fervency will result in power, and those that has been seen before, a fire that will come, because it's our time to demonstrate his purpose and to demonstrate his glory. So Father, in Jesus' name, I impart that right now to all those who would receive, that my God, you are alive, you are powerful, you are purposeful, and you are calling your people to be the same. You are releasing truth over the hearts of men right now that breaks the power of the lie and the darkness that has been upon this land, and you are moving us out into a place of absolute certainty that you are a God that will finish what he started. We're going to take you at your word, God, this morning. We're going to take you at your word. We're not going to look to the left or to the right. We will not be dismayed by what we hear or what we see. We will be reminded that you are a faithful, powerful, mighty God, and that we are in fact standing at the edge of the Red Sea. And my question, church, this morning is, will we be like the Israelites and will we begin to complain and want to turn back? Or will we, before we see that sea split, just like was commanded by God when Moses the prophet told the people, stand still and see the glory of the Lord. The very next verse, God said to Moses, why are you telling them to stand still? You missed that one, prophet. Tell them to move. And when they moved, the sea opened. Not before. When they moved, the sea opened. And they walked right through the middle of that impossibility. And that needs to just impart some hope to some hearts today. We're at that brink. We're at that place. We have a Red Sea God opportunity moment. And I believe that our God will be glorified in 2021. Amen? Amen. I want to do this right now. If I could have maybe Pastor Eric and Britt maybe just come up here, like you've slipped away a little week. He's married to the backslider. If that's you, if you feel weak in your faith this morning, there's no shame and no condemnation. There's been too many pastors that have released that it makes you want to stay in your seat. I want to say this morning, if you're struggling in your faith, I want you to make your way to the altars. We have the prayer team and some pastors are going to be up here. If you're struggling in your faith, just make your way up. Just come into agreement with somebody. Amen. Amen. I need some leaders and pastors and prayer partners to come forward, please. I as well would like to do this. If I could have maybe David and Felicia over here on this side. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to. You need to. The truth is, we are in very dark times, but if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you win, as Pastor Mona said. Regardless of what it looks like, you win. You win. He's a friend. He's a confidant. He's a counselor. He gives wisdom. He loves you like nobody else could. And this morning, if you want to know him, David and Felicia, can you raise your hands right now? This is David and Felicia. If you need to know Jesus, I want you to make your way without hesitation. Leave your seat right now. Leave your seat right now. God does not promise tomorrow. If you don't know Jesus, right over here to my right, these two people with their hands up, they're going to lead you to Jesus right now. They're going to make sure that you said, if you slipped away from God and you need to rededicate, I want you to come right now and meet with David and Felicia right here. Ministers David and Felicia, and they'll lead you to Jesus. Don't hesitate. Now's the time. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. If I have to scare you, I'm going to scare you. You need to be a follower of Christ. You need to be a follower of Christ. That's where the hope is. That's where your lifeline is. And like I said, tomorrow is not promised. And if you do not know him, you could be separated from him for all of eternity. So now's the time. One more day this morning, would you extend your hands, church, to those that are up here honestly voicing that they're finding themselves in a struggle. Let's believe for their breakthrough. Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you for the fire of your Holy Spirit that ignites us once again, that takes us to that place of being absolutely convinced, my God, that you will not fail us, you will not leave us. You are guiding and directing, and you see what we do not see. And we don't choose to look with our physical eyes any longer. We choose to look with eyes of faith. With eyes of faith, believing, my God, that you are moving things, that you are shifting things. Even when we don't see it, you are all God, always, and our trust is in you. We thank you for reestablishing the faith of those that are feeling weary this morning. I pray for all of us in this house. I pray that we would wake up to what you're calling us to in this moment, and that's a deeper walk with you, Jesus, a greater understanding of who you are. I pray for strategy and encounter and holy visitation to come and embrace us and reveal to us who you are and what you want from us in this time. And as we wait with anticipation for the goodness of God to be poured out in a land where there's darkness. I'm seeing more need for prayer, Daniel, here. They're just... Amen. You did? Okay. Amen. So let's just pray together as we dismiss this morning. Heavenly Father, we recognize that you're here this morning, that you've spoken this morning, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And that we will not be persuaded by what we see or what we hear, We will keep our eyes fixed on you, the one who started it and the one who will finish it. We love you, God, for your faithfulness and your goodness, and I pray for your protection and your peace to be upon this family until we meet again. God bless you. There's treats on the way out for the kids. God bless you. We love you. Be strong and be courageous. Amen.